Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone offering you the red pill this morning instead of my live picture. My interface on my camera is having a bad hair day that I have every day, so we're working with that, and so we're just going to have me in audio, but who cares? You've seen me, and you know, what can I tell you? Good morning. It is May 11, 2021. Dr. William Wong, one of our faves, he's going to be here in just a moment and say hello, and he's got a red sweater on, so he's looking good. And even though red, according to Adam Bergstrom, is Monday day, he's just one day late with that one, but we won't tell him. Let's see, it's red, orange, whatever. Later on this day, we are going to speak with Dr. Alan Frankel, and he's probably one of the leading docs in the country using medical cannabis, medical wacky tobacco, and we'll talk to him at noon Central Time, so stick around. Tomorrow, Penny Kelly is going to be here, and she's quite an interesting lady. We talk about consciousness. We've talked to her before, and some of the things going on planet Earth today, and how we can navigate this baby by tempering and being focused on what we think, what we believe, and what we imagine to be true. The only thing I imagine to be true right now is that I'm here with Dr. William Wong, and Dr. Wong, a very pleasant good morning to you, sir.
Morning. How are you doing?
You're looking good, Doc. Good look at that.
Thank you.
Man,
thank you, Patrick.
I like that sweater there. You could save that one for Christmas, too, you know. Yeah.
It's about when I got it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Wong, William Wong is an interesting fellow. I met Dr. Wong about 20 years ago. He was in San Antonio. I was working for KLBJ. And he came up there. Remember that, Doc? You drove up and
sure did.
Had a nice little show, and I only got in mildly a little bit of trouble. I mean, usually, you were pretty tame back there. Dr. Wong is a fascinating fellow. He's a classic naturopath, a PhD, exercise physiologist, a certified athletic trainer. He has written a lot of books. The first book was, what was the first book you wrote, Doc?
10 Natural Treatments You Haven't Heard of Now.
Yeah.
I hated that title.
Yeah,
my publisher foisted it on me.
I still have that book up on my little shelf. 10 Natural Treatments you Haven't Heard of Till Now. What were a couple of the top ones? Do you remember? Do you remember that? Which one were the couple of the top ones in that book that you wrote about years ago?
Oh, that book sold me on the first two chapters, which was chronic fatigue. The second one was fibromyalgia. And I think on the chapter on rehabbing lower back injuries.
Lower back injuries. I guess you've become kind of an expert at that over the years. So those,
with all the injuries I've had, yeah. I've had to, yes.
You used to play football and knock yourself around?
Oh, no.
No?
Mm-mm.
Lifting weights,
no,
right?
I was always an individual sportsman. First spinal injuries I got were coming out of church when I was 7 years old. I had just confessed all the terrible mortal sins that I did at age seven. And I was crossing the street, and I bet my guardian angel that I could make it to the other side of the street before that red Chevy van came by.
That's hilarious.
He suggested I shouldn't, mm-hmm. but I did it anyway, and I lost.
I see.
I actually DOA'd on the way to the hospital on that one, but I wound up with five cervical fractures.
Whoa. You were 7 years old.
7 years old.
And so...
That was my first set of spinal injuries.
Wow. And so with that at a young age, so here you are and you get into becoming a classic naturopath and exercise and weightlifting. Did you do this at a matter of survival, just to get stronger?
Yes, actually. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was a childhood asthmatic. And like Teddy Roosevelt, found that exercise helped the asthma.
Huh.
And I actually ran for a good bit. Didn't become one of those kooky runners that, you know, had to go pound the pavement.
Yeah.
But between the weightlifting and the running and the aerobic work, and oddly enough, that's what I regret most doing besides the gymnastics, is the plyometric aerobic work, because that really wore the heck out of my knees.
Plyometric aerobic work, that would be the long runs.
Jumping up and down.
Jumping up and down
from boxes.
I'm sorry.
Jumping up and down from. I used to run stadium steps. Used to love it.
Stadium steps. Oh, I've seen that in the movies, like Rocky. They would run up and down the stairs.
Right. Exactly.
Not good. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
Don't do that. No. Don't do that.
Bad for knees. Great for orthopedic surgeons, though.
bad for knees. But how about the folks that run around? I don't even know if people jog anymore, do they? I guess they do. How about running around with the expensive sneakers? Is that okay on your knees?
You know, any kind of running, anything more than 3 miles three times a week is done for reasons other than fitness. That's what the father of aerobics wound up figuring out. The MDs told everyone in the 1970s that they needed to do distance running to save their hearts.
Right.
The exercise physiologist said, you're crazy. You're going to cause a lot of cardiac condition. By the 1990s, so many runners were dying off. As a matter of fact, in 99, John Sheehan died, who was a big MD with a writer for Runner's World. Jim Fix plots dead in the middle of a run. And some other guy ran and dropped dead. By that time, also, the people that I had taken care of run the New York Marathon in the late 70s were either sick or crippled. One of the guys wound up in a wheelchair.
Wow.
He was an Olympic gold medalist, and he wound up in a wheelchair. So the idea finally got to the MDs. That much running was bad for you, and I forget the doctor who coined the term aerobics. He's a Texas guy.
I know who you mean. The fellow up in Dallas.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
I forget his name.
Yeah. His name. Yeah.
Yep. But he finally figured out what Dr. Ostrand figured out in the 1950s in Sweden that. Anything other than like 2 to 3 miles three times a week is done for reasons other than fitness, like you're doing it for mania. You know, runners have runners, cyclists, triathletes have this kind of a mania about them. They basically go nuts.
Like more
until
is better.
Until they wear themselves down and they wear themselves sick.
Yeah, like more is better, blah, blah, more.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Exactly, that kind of more is only better in sex and money.
Can I quote you on that? More is only better in sex and money. I like it. No, it's got a nice ring to it. What about if you were out on the in the tundra or you know somewhere in bare feet on dirt or stuff or grass? Do you think it would be easier on your knees if you wanted to run more for mania reasons?
What the people who like doing aerobic work wind up doing once their knees start giving them trouble is they wind up hiking. I went from running to putting a 25 to 50 pound pack on my back and just basically doing forced marches around the neighborhood.
Wow.
And it's for a while, but that eventually gets to your lower back. So then you start doing other things. How about the only piece of aerobic machinery that I can do now is something that's actually 20 years old called a cardio glide.
I've
got one about
cardio
4
glide.
Feet away.
Cardio glide.
A cardio glide. It looks like a rocking horse.
Huh.
Or it moves like a child's rocking horse. It's very gentle on the joints and it works your heart wonderfully. So you can maintain your aerobic capacity and your pulmonary capacity, even though you severely wore out your joints trying to be big, bad, and macho, or just trying to keep your heart fit while you were younger.
We've been told often, I don't know if you were one of those, but the idea that a burst of 30 seconds or full on is really good for the heart. Is that true?
Yes, interval work is better than straight aerobic work because everything we have that challenges our heart is a shock. For example, you're told that, someone just stole all the money out of your bank.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, your father-in-law plots. Or your daughter wrecked the car.
Right.
You know, or you're a cop. Yeah. And you go from standing there writing a ticket to having to wrestle with the guy.
Right.
Sudden intensive bursts of effort are what really put a strain on the heart. And just running 3 to 10 miles doesn't get you ready for it. As a matter of fact, a good many of the runners who died back in the 70s and the 80s died because something came up and they had to do intense bouts of work for short periods of time, and the hearts just weren't up to the shock.
So if you were going to do a 30-second or 45-second, you know, as fast as you can, a tiger's running after you, would you do that just once a day? Would you do it every... how often would you do that?
Let's say you do it 30 seconds on and a minute off.
Okay.
And then 30 seconds on and a minute off. And 30 seconds on and a minute off. What Dr. Ostrand found back in the 1950s still holds true. The heart does not begin to condition until you've been at threshold heart rate for at least 2 minutes, and then you work for another 5. So the total time is somewhere between 7 or 8 minutes before you get a conditioning effect on the heart. So since your heartbeat is up during the periods of rest in between the intervals of work,
yes, sir.
That
yes.
counts.
That counts. Okay.
Yeah. So let's say you do 30. 4 or 5 periods of 30 seconds of intense work,
yes, sir,
with a minute's rest in between, that tallies up to almost 8 minutes, I guess.
Wait, so you could do like 8 or 10 minutes. I do it on the rebounder. When I'm on the rebounder, I'm running as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. And boy, I can get my heart rate up like, whoo. I mean,
exactly.
30 seconds is good. 30, 35, 45 seconds, then rest for a minute, and then do it again.
45 may be a bit too long.
Okay. All right.
Some of the folks on were doing intervals of a minute on, a minute off. We were doing this with the Harvard Step.
Okay.
Which is a form of a plyometric work. You're basically going up and up down and from down. A chair.
Yeah.
Okay. But the wear on the knees began to get a bit much. And also we saw that we didn't need to have that much of a stimulus in order to get the response. You have to remember that exercise is a stimulus response mechanism.
Uh-huh.
So we give it the stimulus, then we have to give it time. We have to give the body time to rest, respond, and rebuild. And that's also where the runners were getting it completely wrong, because they weren't giving themselves any days of rest.
Ah, so on the burst,
exercise 3 days
on the burst rest, it would be 30 is fine, max. You don't need any more than 30. And then if you would do this 10-minute deal, you could do this 3 times a week? Would that be too much? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No.
Be okay.
No. And, you know, the older you get, you can actually pare it down to 2 times a week.
Uh-huh. And so this is why you've taught me over the years, and I still do it to this day, when I do my palms facing forward pull-ups, right, on the bar, I mm-hmm. do as many pull-ups as I can, and then I rest for 1 or 2 minutes, and then I do another one, I do 3 of those, right? 3 of those.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Yes.
A couple times a week, 3 times a week, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
That's all you need.
You know, Dr. Ray Pete is on our show from time to time. You know Dr. Pete. He's a cool guy.
Oh, gosh, yes. He's a hero of mine. Yep.
He's one of our heroes,
I love his work on progesterone.
Yeah. He was all over that, boy. And, you know, you got a little progesterone that you sell, too, right, that I've got from you. It's in a tube.
Yep.
And you can get it. You can see it on the website, on the video here. It's drwongsessentials.com. You got a good one. It's just made from wild yammies, right? What's the name of that one?
Karuna Pure. The Karuna folks made a really good job of just putting in progesterone.
So it's just progesterone?
Yeah, nothing else.
And it's called
Karuna? No estrogen for balance or whatever else. You know, when we use progesterone, we're looking to lower estrogen.
Yeah.
So why put the estrogen in? That makes no sense.
So us guys can do a little dab like on our testicles if we want or whatever?
Yes, and forehead.
Wait a minute, forehead. Okay, that's all a new one. That's a new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of the folks doing stem cell therapy in brain rejuvenation.
Yeah.
The first thing that the researchers do is they bathe the body, they bathe the brain in progesterone, because progesterone is what grew your brain to begin with.
Okay.
In the womb. So first they hike your progesterone, and progesterone is not feminizing. Guys can use a bunch of it. Guys can have a 4-digit level progesterone reading and be perfectly okay and perfectly manly.
Hmm.
So can gals, you know, perfectly all right. You're hardly depressed when you've got a progesterone reading that high. Progesterone is the anti-depression hormone along with testosterone.
Huh. But
what the progesterone does is it helps the stem cells that they're injecting in to proliferate and grow. The hope for the future is that we can, since the brain does not regenerate itself because its cells have no ribosomes, that we can use totipotent cells, stem cells, to create new brain cells the way the brain normally creates its own brain cells. And that with the push from the progesterone and the HGH, the IGF-1, the whole thing can work a hell of a lot faster.
So we would use, if we wanted to get some of your, which I have some, where would you put it? Like in your third eye, in your forehead, you mean, right there? Boom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All across the forehead. You know, if you don't want wrinkles, you put some on your cheeks. The really expensive, like super expensive, anti-wrinkle creams are all mainly just progesterone.
Progesterone, really. The stuff that the gals pay 50 or 100 bucks for, just progesterone.
Bingo, exactly,
but,
yeah.
But if I recall, though, you often talk, damn, you told us, and you just want to use a little dab, though. You don't want to be smearing this stuff all over, do you?
I was wrong.
You were wrong. Well, it's the first time this lifetime, Doc. First time.
Actually, I've got a whole sheet of corrections in my men's book that I have, you know, as an update. It's cheaper than getting reprinted.
So it doesn't matter.
I put the sheet into each of the books that we sell. Mm-hmm. But I have done the mea culpa, and I have corrected myself on a few things that I was either marked wrong or totally wrong on 20 years ago.
Yeah. So is Dr. Pete aligned with you on the amount, or is he still a few drop guy?
I don't remember, honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, these days, the MDs in anti-aging therapy are giving folks, just as a matter of course, capsules worth 100 to 200 milligrams of progesterone. A quarter spoon of our progesterone cream, and just about everyone else's, only provides 20.
Whoa. So you could do a teaspoon or so if you wanted to get crazy, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Dr. William Wong is with us. His website, drwongessentials.com. And guys, if you want to get a few little magical little herbs for south of the border, if you get my drift, Dr. Wong is your guy. He's got some, right, Doc? You got some things that are pretty powerful stuff, because you've been studying.
Hopefully, yes. Yep.
No, you do. And he's been studying the sexual kind of stuff for a long, long time, haven't you, Doc?
You know, I used to look stores, and I was kind of ragged on once by a couple of my kung fu students, because they were all looking at the spiritual books,
uh-huh,
and I found all the aphrodisiac herbals, and that's what I was looking at, was all the herbal books with all the aphrodisiac recipes in it.
Oh, you mean the ashwagandhas and those kind of things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makradaj.
Yep.
Makradaj.
And some of those formulas work.
Yeah.
And some of them don't. And I played with all of those since the 1970s, the late 70s. Played a lot in the 80s. And then by the late 90s, we had it down.
And can you remember, recall which ones that you kind of, you gravitated towards, the esoteric herbs, Doc?
If you mix, find a good extract, at least one extract, which is what we use in our products, is a 20 to 1 powder. When you take a look at maca, 97% of it
maca
is fiber and sugar.
Yeah.
So you get rid of the fiber and sugar and just go for the 3% working ingredient, and then you can concentrate it, because typically you've got to take 3 to 6 teaspoons of maca just to have it do anything.
Really? Because so much fiber.
I did that for 15 years, and that got really, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, after a while, you just look at the maca and you go, no. I tried baking it into cookies. I put it into breads. I did all sorts of stuff with it. And after a while, I just couldn't stomach it. So we found the strongest maca, and then we found a 50-to-1 ashwagandha.
Yeah.
We put it together, and we threw in a touch of serrapeptidase, because anything taken with a proteolytic enzyme is greatly increased in its absorption, like 50 to 100% better absorption.
Uh-huh.
And we put that all together, and the ashwagandha creates luteinizing hormone. So your brain tells your testicles, hey, take this stuff, turn on, and make something.
Do something.
And then the maca has all the plant steroids that are one step away from being testosterone. Just like the old androstene stuff.
Oh.
It's not like DHEA, where you have to go through 20 steps for it to become testosterone. And along the way, it might just turn into estrogen,
mm-hmm.
which it always does. The ecdysterol in the maca is one step away from being testosterone, and that's a real easy jump.
Which product is that with the maca and the ashwagandha? Is that the Enkindle?
That's the Andean Essence.
Andean Essence. That's the Andean Essence, and that's got the maca
right.
and the ashwagandha.
Yes.
And then also you put right. in the serrapeptase to make it rock and roll.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's the absorption agent.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What about girls for becoming more juicy, more sexy? What kind of in Ayurveda they use what's the counterpart to ashwagandha? It is you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I
one of those. Yeah.
20 years ago I could have answered that question handily, but
it'll come to me.
Forgotten a good bit of my herbology.
What do you use in your products? What do you use?
We have a product to try to get gals inflamed, enkindled,
and
raise their libido.
Sure.
Called Enkindle.
Oh, Enkindle.
And it has. Let me see. Oh heck, it has a Brazilian herb that helps testosterone and dopamine. Because what happens with gals is that they, when they have high estrogen past 40, 45, or after the second or third child, the high estrogen also creates high prolactin. Even though they're not breastfeeding, you always find high estrogen creating high prolactin. And the prolactin is what makes them say, I don't want sex. Don't touch me. Sex is dirty and nasty. If you lower the prolactin,
yeah,
and lower the estrogen, increase the progesterone, start her making testosterone again, and the prolactin, you have dopamine. Dopamine is the hormone of lust and desire. Then you've basically created a hormonal situation where her libido can come back. Now, what wound up happening with that product by sheer accident? I never designed it to do this, but I can understand why it does. It is the leading product now for fighting postpartum depression.
This and Kendall.
Yes, because mm-hmm. postpartum depression in women is caused by the high estrogen and high prolactin.
Ah.
Prolactin especially is a really depressive hormone and takes away all ambition to do anything because it's killing your dopamine.
Hmm. Dr. William Wong is with us. Doc, stay right there, okay? I'm going to do a little break, Aruni,
sure.
here, and we're going to sell a product or two or one or something. We'll do something. We have the colostrum on sale from Daniel Vitalis, and you don't need I think I can make this thing work. You don't need a promo code or anything like that. It's just boom, boom, 20%. I just got myself a big 1 kilo of colostrum, and for those of you in Petaluma, 1 kilo is 2.2 pounds. They left that out of metric school, something like that. Anyway, here's a little bit on colostrum. Here is a little primer on colostrum.
Colostrum is this amazing food, and of course we have it in a powdered form, so it comes kind of like a dried milk, although technically colostrum is not really a dairy product. It is the sort of first food for mammals. It's made where dairy products are made in the body, or it comes from that same place, but it's not really a milk, even though it comes from udders. And of course all mammals produce colostrum, and they produce that colostrum to feed their young mammals. Really love the idea that if we're going to have cows and we're going to milk them, that colostrum becomes the most medicinal part of that whole system. So colostrum in human bodies does a lot of different things, but its primary stuff is it keeps the immune system in shape. So when we're using colostrum, it keeps our immune system kind of like going to the gym almost, like keeps it fit so that we can fight off infection. It's one of the things it does really helps us do really well. And that's a natural, normal thing for us, but we're living in a world that really breaks our immune system down, so we need immuno allies. Probably nothing in the world supports our ability to stay antiviral the way colostrum does.
That's a lovely product. We've been taking it for years. Not that that means anything to you, but we have and love it. You can click and order colostrum, and you can order the 1 or 2 kilo containers. Get on the auto ship for the best price. And East of Thrival link right here, OneRadioNetwork.com. And again, we have only 1 week remaining with colostrum. So if you've been hearing us talk about the product, if you've never tried it, you can get a 1 or a kilo, a 2 kilo, whatever you want. Start even with the smaller one, 20%. So that's a nice sale. They just don't do this very often. So no code needed, just 20% off on all colostrum products. And also, if you're looking for things to help you south of the border, two of my favorite things to go along with Dr. Wong's products are pine pollen and elk velvet antler. Do you know those little elkies grow a whole little rack every year and they drop off? I mean, what's that about? I don't know. And so they get the velvet off of the elk, and they don't kill the elk or tourniquet, or they don't do anything. They don't even drug them. Well, sometimes they haven't watched the news, and then the elk get, you know, go to sleep, but their eyes rolls back in their head, and, you know, they watch the news and CNN and that. Just kidding. Check it out. Great products on Sir Thrival, OneRadioNetwork.com. Brian Clement, who heads up the Hippocrates Institute in Florida, talked about saunas here. Elkie writes in for Brian Clements. Would Brian give us some tips on what supplements we would need to take if we do saunas several times a week to replenish lost minerals from sweating?
Well, Dr. Rao, who you had on, is a colleague and a friend. We do often conferences together in Europe, and I agree. We have saunas here. I take a sauna, so you know this, no matter where I travel in the world, 365 days a year. I think it's mandatory.
Really?
87%, listen closely, okay. 87% more heavy metals and chemicals come out in an infrared.
Well, no wonder we feel better when we take these saunas. We have the Relax Far Infrared Sauna we've talked about on sale through August, $950 delivered continental U.S. If you live outside there, email me.
Oh, wait a minute, that's not right. That's a couple years old. We have an ongoing good price, the best price ever that they allow us to do, as long as we don't put it into print. Because then, you know, Mr. Google picks it up and everybody says, well, you know. But they let us sell it for $1,195. You go on their website. Well, anyway, it's usually about $1,300, $1,400. This is a great unit. I'm in this little puppy every day. And again, what Patrick does doesn't mean anything, but it's a nice thing to detoxify. And who knows what we're getting in the air, in the water, and in the food. I mean, you know, we just... Yeah, you go to Burger Doodle, you just don't know what you're going to pick up, you know. Anyway, this salon, just email me and we'll hook you up. Email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. If you want to try some of the best aloe ever, check it out. It is Stockton Aloe 1. It is flash frozen. Just the pulp, nothing else. They put it in and you can get 2 minimum half gallons, and check it out. It'll come to you frozen, or if it's halfway thawed out, you pour it in a glass and then put the rest in the freezer. It is an amazing way to get aloe. You'd need about 50 aloe plants to get as much aloe as you get in one glass.
If you have any kind of stomach things going on, you want to soothe things down, aloe is probably one of the more magical plants on the planet. It is Stockton Aloe 1. It's on our website. And if I press the wrong button, right button, we'll do it.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Talking with a nice man. His name is William Wong. He is a classical homeopathic physician, naturopath, rather. So a classical naturopath is different from another naturopath. How so, Doc?
The way that naturopathy is practiced in the United States, it took on more homeopathic work, and it also took on a good bit of allopathic work. And the classical naturopaths reject the allopathy, and they're not as homeopathic.
Ah.
Because when John Bastier basically saved the naturopathic profession in the United States, he had the only school left. Most of the states except for two, I think it was California, Missouri, Oregon, and Washington had down their naturopathic medical boards by the 1960s. Those states managed to keep their naturopathic medical board. John Bastier was a German-trained homeopath and naturopath, but he leaned towards homeopathy. So when he saved the naturopathic profession in the United States, which is an admirable thing to do, his students were focused more on homeopathy, and then some of the allopathic stuff started creeping in.
Huh.
They've always done what's called minor and orificial surgery. You know, if you got a skin tag, we can cut it off and stuff. But we've never gone into delivering babies or doing major surgery or whatever. And some of the naturopaths, especially in Oregon, have crossed into that realm. And they're basically wannabe allopaths.
Ah, so I see.
Kind of project all that.
Here's an email. Dr. Wong, by the way, it is, you can see here, here's his website. If you'd like to look at some of his products, he's been working on these products for a long time, drwongessentials.com. And he is in the great state of Texas in the boonies. Doc, did you see where the Texas Senate passed their part of a bill that says folks in Texas can carry a gun anytime they want, anywhere they want, no license, just pack it, put it on your hip, and go. And they're going to send it back to the
House.
Yeah, constitutional carry. Yep. They're going to take it back to the House, but the word is that the House doesn't want to change much. It's just a little. So that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Just, you know, rock and roll, man.
We had that in Arizona. And, you know, all the naysayers, you're going to get your gun stolen. You're gonna create this. You're going to create that. Guy walks into it with a gun on his hip. Yeah, big deal. A biker drives by. You can openly see his and that he's carrying. Yeah, nobody's going to mug him. Most people choose to carry concealed, but some just want to carry open, and that's perfectly okay. It's mainly the back easterners and the liberals who freak out about it, and you know. The rest of us know, okay, we have a restaurant full of both open and concealed carry folks. No one's going to start a shootout, but if a bad guy walks in, he's in trouble. It's just like there was a commercial with Lee Ermey where this bad guy walks into a diner and tries a hold up, and the diner's full of cops. You know, wrong diner. Well, about the same happens. I have never heard of an open carry or a concealed carry being disarmed. 70% of the cops are shot by their own gun. 70% of the cops get shot by their own gun.
Really?
Wow. So there's much more of a problem with having the weapon taken away from a police officer than from a civilian. It just doesn't happen. It does not happen. And as we see from the crime statistics, the more guns, the less crime.
Yeah. Look at Chicago.
They've got the toughest gun exactly. laws in the country, Doc.
They had over 160 shootings last week.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
You know.
The most tightly gun-controlled city in the world.
In the world. Yeah. Man, I tell you what. Here's a good way to kind of get into the current situation, which we were going to talk about. Well, with Dr. Wong, though, I have so much fun talking about everything else that I never get to what I was going to talk to him about. Dennis in Northern Utah asks, if someone was forced to get a vaccine, would loading up on your enzymes possibly neutralize the mRNA before it could do its damage? Furthermore, if one has already gotten the jab, would the body tag all the protein and antibody production foreign to the body? Therefore, the enzymes could clean up the whole process, including the clotting issues being reported. On a different topic, could Dr. Wong give us a brief history of his Parkinson's and the protocol he uses to control it? Thanks both for the education. Okay, so let's dig in. So let's see, if someone was forced to get a vax, you know, you're never forced, you always have a choice, but say you thought you were forced, could you use, do you think your enzymes to neutralize? Do we know anything enough about Dr. these
Tenpenny
mRNA?
Dr. Tenpenny has just put out a video talking about exogenous proteins and how the body should. The problem is having the enzymatic action necessary to lyse away, to eat away those proteins. So in theory, if you took enough of the end long enough, you might be able to undo a bit of the mRNA. But then your problem is all the nanochips.
Yeah.
They have, Pfizer yesterday or today just announced that no one who got the vax should have an MRI for 6 to 10 weeks.
Really?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, they found out why. There's various videos around. As a matter of fact, go to Jim Stone, jimstone.in. And he's got a Twitter video of a gal who had just gotten the vax.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this little tiny magnet about the size of a dime.
I've seen those. I've seen
that. Yeah, on her vaccine site. It sticks.
It sticks to where they got the vaccine.
Which means that there's some sort of a ferrous metal there.
Really?
Now, if you think about the way that you cool a speaker, you should know about this because your business has a lot to do with mics and speakers and stuff. Some speakers, I think tweeters, have a liquid iron in them that's clear, but it's still ferrous. So apparently these nanochips, which are what I think is causing all of the blood clots, not the mRNA, but the nanochips.
You think it's the nanochippers? Wow.
Yeah. The nanochips are so foreign to the body that they glom them over with a lipid, with a fat, to get them transportable. But fats also glue onto each other, and they glue onto stuff. And if your blood just happens to be filled with stuff anyway, as you know, most people have blood that's about as thick as ketchup, instead of, you know, nice flowing blood that's about as thin as water, just a little bit thicker, the way it's supposed to be. So when you add something even thicker to that, then you're going to get gloms. But what Dr. Tenpenny has been saying is that these blood clots are developing in places in the brain where blood clots are rare as rocking do. They're almost never seen in these places in the brain, and that's where just about everybody who's getting a stroke or dying from the COVID vaccines is getting these central brain blood clots, where in the past those hardly ever happened in normal human physiology.
So you know a lot about hormones and menstruation and menopause and all of that. So the latest and greatest thing, or dumbest thing, is this shedding thing. Now, we're beginning to hear from people, very well-informed people, that are cautioning us not to get crazy, because maybe, just maybe, Doc, that this shedding thing is just another fast pitch in the dirt to separate us more from the people, the vaxxed people, you know? It's possible, too.
That could very well be.
You know?
That could very well be.
Yes, sir. Because they just want to separate us, right, Doc? They want to separate us, right?
By race, by vaccine or no vaccine.
Yes, sir.
By politics, whatever. You know, I am an extreme right winger. I am so extreme right wing that people me and Holter's a centrist. Yet I've got a really good friend who's a Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
We went to school together.
Well, the father who's pulling his daughter out.
Great school. I respect his views. Mm-hmm. He respects mine. We're fine with each other. That's how things should be.
Yes. Yes.
Now they're trying to divide us into tiny little groups so that we're all at war with each other.
Right.
And we don't notice what Big Brother is doing.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I think there's a lot of that going on, Doc, even in, you know, the all well-meaning natural people are, you know, are jumping onto some stuff. So I think we need to be careful about the shedding. However, you know, we do know that when ladies, you know, you've heard this over, you know, many years, ladies who live together, they have oftentimes will,
get into the same cycle.
Get the same cycle. So I guess it's not a stretch to think that you know, there could be some shedding things going on with their vaccine.
It's been happening with gals who get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And gals who are around gals who have had the vaccine, is that even the women who haven't had the vax start getting 4 periods a month.
Really?
Babies. First, it started with 7 and 8 year old girls starting their menstrual cycles. Holy cow. Now we're hearing about 1 year old girls starting to bleed vaginally.
Huh.
You know, all the hormone irregularities are estrogenic ones, all the ones we see. And we know from the birth control pill that estrogen causes infertility. So too high in, you know, while estrogen is needed to ovulate, too high estrogen and you cause infertility or miscarriages. So apparently something in the vaccine is causing a highly estrogenic effect, and it's my theory. Hmm. Got no proof for this.
Yes, sir. I hear you.
But since all these vaccines were cultured in female aborted tissue, not male, female aborted tissue, they built something highly estrogenic into some of those cell lines, and when the gals are getting it, they are having the super high estrogen. It's almost as if they're swallowing 20 birth control pills a day.
Wow.
Now, what's it going to do to the boys?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I mean, what's it? No more spermies, right?
Millennials are already wimpy enough. You know, the millennial lowest sperm count, the lowest testosterone level of anybody in 700 years or so.
That's nuts.
So, you know, we're going to see boys being eukonoid. You know, they're not really guys, they're not really gals. You're going to see the birth of hermaphrodites, because babies in the womb, if they're exposed to this vax stuff early enough, might not differentiate between boys and girls. They might be both. And then what we're going to see, because estrogen always causes this, are increased fibrosis diseases, endometriosis, uterine fibroid and cysts, PCOS. You're going to see increases in pulmonary fibrosis. You're going to see increases in every single fibrotic disease man has. And you're going to see a lot of gender confusion amongst the boys.
And then you can add then the gender confusion with the mind and the emotions and the media and you know, the movies and everything and the whole trans thing. Boy, it could be these poor kids wouldn't know which way was up or down.
Sir John Irving Bell, who was one of Pfizer's researchers at Oxford, openly said, and his YouTube is available, that... Let's see. They partially developed the vaccine at Oxford as a means to cause sterility. And he expected that it would only work in about 70% of the population, not 100.
He says this, the Pfizer guy?
He said that out loud. And you now when he says that, look in the eyes of the guy who's interviewing him. He goes into total shock. This old guy doesn't know what to do. And he ends the interview.
What's his name, the Pfizer guy? What's his name?
Sir John Irving Bell.
Sir John Irving Bell. Wow. Yeah. So we'll go back to Utah fellow, Dennis. So Tenpenny and others are suggesting maybe the enzymes, you know, could help if somebody's taking this
and
thing.
I would also throw in a bunch of ivermectin to try to get the metal out, to try to get the nanoparticles out. I would throw in a half a cup of water with 2 teaspoons of liquid chlorophyll and 20 drops of liquid activated zeolite. The best source of which that I found yet is a liquidzeolitecompany.com.
Liquid zeolite.
Liquid zeolite will get just about anything out of anywhere, including your brain.
Wow. Liquid zeolite. And ivermectin. Now, I thought ivermectin, wasn't that, isn't that kind of a classic parasite thing for animals?
Yep. Exactly. And it is turning out to be the best wide spectrum antiviral ever. The Australians knew this as far back as 73.
Really?
But Big Pharma has suppressed the research and suppressed the research and suppressed the research because they have antiviral meds to sell you.
Hmm.
For example, I'm a post-herpatic neuralgia patient. I had a case of shingles that I didn't know was shingles. I didn't treat it early enough. And so it's stuck. A good many post-herpatic neuralgia patients kill themselves because the pain is so bad. Every 2 weeks, I give myself a dose of ivermectin. No pain, no itching, no nothing.
Wow. Wow.
Nothing will treat post-herpatic neuralgia. I spent the 90s trying to treat this in other patients, and it was a godsend when I accidentally fell on it just because, you know, in Texas, we have livestock.
Yes, sir.
And every year, you warm your livestock. And old Texas docs would, and old Arizona docs that I always hung around with, would tell you that you not only warm your livestock, you warm yourselves. Because if your livestock has worms, so do you. And it was a sheer accident that I found out that when I took this stuff once, while I was in the middle of a post-herpatic neuralgia session, kind of a bad one, it went away within 24 hours. I was astounded.
Wow.
So then I waited a couple of weeks to see how long it would last. And it lasted about 2 weeks. I'd take another dose and it would go away again. And I've been, you know, since nothing works on post-herpatic neuralgia, I've been screaming from the high walls to post-herpatic neuralgia patients that this stuff is nifty.
How did you dose it? How did you know how much to take?
Using the injectable, which I don't inject, I drink it because it's actually faster when you drink it.
The liquid?
You draw 1 cc, 1 milliliter per 100 pounds of body weight. Let's say 25 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I draw two cc's and then a half a cc because you use a half a cc per up to 50 pounds of body weight.
Okay.
After the first 100.
Is that the same for
animals? If you're using the paste, same. Lots of folks are using the horse paste.
Yeah.
You can actually dial in the weight on the little syringe there, plop it on a cracker or a piece of toast or just put it on a spoon and eat it.
On the liquid, would it be, you think this, is it the same dose? I know you're not a vet, but the same dose for animals? Pretty close?
Exactly the same dose, yes.
Huh. Where do you get?
Exactly the same dose.
Where do you get it?
You give it to a cow or a goat.
Where do you get liquid ivermectin?
You get it from feed stores.
Really?
Yeah, we just walk in. Any Tractor Supply's got it.
No kidding.
Just about any feed store's got it.
And that's the same stuff. I mean, if you go to your vet, that's the same stuff they're going to give you.
You know, it's exactly the same ivermectin in humans. Now they're providing ivermectin in a tablet.
Yeah.
For humans, yeah. which is cool. But yeah, one of those guys who doesn't like to go to his MD because these guys don't know what I'm doing anyway. So, and they've got no answers for me. They never have, except for one. actually two MDs who are stellar alternative MDs. No, make that three. And the rest of the allopathic profession blows air out their backsides.
Dr. William Wong, who is not shy about saying what he means, if you'd like to be on the show, we have lots of good emails coming in, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So this fellow wanted to know, before we move on to the next email, a brief history of his Parkinson's and your protocol. Did you have Parkinson's kind of symptoms?
Yeah, started in 99.
Wow.
Dr. Abram Burfers first caught it. He got me on the soligoline then. And that's exactly the same time that I started with the enzymes. I was, for all my various aches and pains, I was taking, 60 to 80 Wobenzyme a day.
Because you used to work with them, right? The Wobenzyme people,
yes,
years ago.
I'm the reason why systemic enzymes are popular in the U.S. Every systemic enzyme company should send me money. Because when I started off, there was only one.
Wobenzyme.
I went around preaching systemic enzymes for years. And I'm the guy who made them all popular. And if you read most people's advertising, you'll see my writings in there. They kind of clip and you know, put it in. But
Parkinson's.
What happened is that the enzymes were eating away at the pro-inflammatory cytokines that were inflaming my brain, and they were also lysing away at the amyloid deposits, so the fibrosis that grows in Parkinson's patients' brains and in dementia patients' brains, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to cause a short circuiting of the neurons. And then I used a pulsed electromagnetic therapy device called an Earth Pulse.
Yeah.
Slept with that under my pillow at 9.6 hertz. And I swear it rebuilt the substantia nigra that makes dopamine, because I have better balance now. I have practically no tremor. I don't shuffle anymore. I was worse off 10 years ago than I am now.
I'll be. And that, so the Earth Pulse helps your body to make more dopamine, which you need, right?
The Earth Pulse rebuilds your body.
Yeah.
Given enough time, it took 3 years. I noticed within the first year, I was using it for sleep because I between 1990, the summer of 1990 and 2017, I had not had a restful night's sleep ever.
Yeah.
Part of that was because I went through 7.5 years of really bad chronic fatigue and chronic mono, which is when I developed the mono and chronic fatigue protocols. I hadn't gotten a good night's sleep since then, summer of 1990. The Earth Pulse put me to sleep like a baby. I had deep, restful sleep. And after about a year of sleeping on it, I noticed my balance was better.
Hmm.
I noticed the tremor was almost gone. You know, I would eat soup and my hand would shake.
Wow.
It's about the only place where it would. And the soup would, you know, fall off the spoon. Doesn't happen anymore.
And so what? I'm sure you were doing lucky. Other things orally to help, right? Other than the Earth Pulse, what kind of things did you
taking
do?
The soligoline.
Soligoline.
Every now and then, when I'm really feeling off, I'll take some Syndopa along with the soligoline. Soligoline is also Deprenyl, which is a brain boosting medicine. Read up on the what is that doctor who does all the work? Well, his name begins with an M. There's Wardeen, and then there's this fellow who does all the brain boosting drug work. And it's one of the foundational brain boosting meds. It also rebuilds brain tissue because it's made from mushrooms.
Hmm.
We found out that things like lion's mane mushroom will help to rebuild your brain.
Wow. So do you think then, after all these years, that the Parkinson's symptoms, for others, those that might have that, you get in aluminum or heavy metals or some kind of yuck up in the brain, and it It just kind of goops things up.
Could have been.
Yeah.
It, you know, I don't know what the initial cause was, except that, like I said, I've had a lot of spinal injuries, which means I've also had a number of concussions. I not only have been knocked out, I have been clinically dead twice. So I've had a lot of knocks to my, and I'm actually surprised that it's still working as well as it is. I'm getting forgetful in my old age.
Which one of your products would be?
I shouldn't be where I am now.
Well, you are though. You look great and you sound great. What would be your number one product on your website for folks with sleepy time problems on drwongessentials.com? What would be your number one?
The equanimity.
Equanimity?
Equanimity, yeah.
What's in that?
Take 2.5 hours before bed. I got that formula 40 years ago from a master herbalist from Arkansas. I don't remember the fellow's name. If I remember his name, I would scream it from the walls because he gets all the credit. He was using this herbal formula for everything from nervousness to sleep to getting people off of heroin.
Really?
I've never tried that. But what we used to make it by the tablespoonful, and you'd have to make it into a tea. And whenever I made this stuff, when my kids were little, they say, "Oh, Dad's making the tea again," because one of the herbs smelled like dog poop.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
And it tank up the entire house. But now we found those herbs as 50-1 and 20-1 concentrates. We put them together, and I threw in just a pinch of lithium.
Lithium.
And wow.
Really?
It's fantastic stuff. We get raised from physicians about it.
Equanimity. It's a great name, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you.
So as far as enzymes, your favorite enzyme then is a serrapeptase? That's your go-to kind of?
Well, no? It's a major enzyme, but when you take a look at enzymes, each enzyme has a realm of action. Think of it as a Chinese fan. Okay? So serrapeptase, this many proteins, and then pancreatin eats this many proteins, and then bromelain eats this many proteins, and then papain eats that many proteins. So the more enzymes you put together, the wider spectrum of action you have, the wider spectrum of enzymatic effect you get. So blended enzymes, combinations of enzymes, are better than any particular enzyme solo. Now, the strongest fibrinolytic enzyme, the strongest enzyme at eating away at scar tissue, will be the lead enzyme in any blend. It will be the general telling all the other enzymes what to do. And yes, the serrapeptase is, excuse me, the lead enzyme in my Zymescence.
That's your major product, right? Zymescence, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's what everything we do is based on the Zymescence. When I was studying with Mucos Pharma in Germany, Dr. Ronsberger was still alive then. He owned the company. And I asked him, "Could we make this stronger?" And he said, "Yeah, but then we wouldn't sell as many pills." I determined that when I made my own systemic product, I would do two things. I would, like they did, I would use pharmaceutical-grade enzymes, not food-grade. I would use the strongest enzymes I could find. I would concentrate them. Because, you know, you got to remember, in a pill, 40% of the pill is the stuff holding the pill together. It's only 40 to 60% is the actual active ingredient. And then you get the sugar coating, which actually acts kind of as an enteric coating. But putting... So I found the largest capsule I could find that I thought people could swallow, which is a triple O. And we stuffed it full of the enzyme blend that I developed. And actually, I can't take all the credit for developing it because the fellow who had been the founding pharmacologist at Mucos Pharma in Germany back in the 50s, good Texas boy, went to MIT and studied pharmacy. He helped me put this blend together.
Oh.
And when we formulated the blend, it was X number of times stronger than anything else around. And I can't tell you what the number is, but it's big.
It's wrong. Well, I can't swallow that puppy, I tell you that. So I just break mine apart. Then, I just swallow it. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Open the capsule up.
That's all.
The enteric protection is on the powder, not on the capsule.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Mix it with applesauce.
Whatever
you're putting. Do anything you need to do. Put on a piece of bread and eat it, and just take it.
Just get it down. Now, if you would take that then away from food, that's going to go after some creepy crawlies that don't want to be there. And if you take it with food, it helps to digest, right?
Yes, but.
But. There's always
yes,
a but.
And here's, there's always a but. The older we do blends of systemic enzymes, I wanted you to take the enzyme product away from food because they feared that a substantial portion of the enzymes would be dragged off and used to digest food.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't get enough of the enzymes absorbed to have an action throughout the body.
Right.
But it with one capsule of myzyme essence can digest 12 to 16 Thanksgiving or Christmas suppers.
Whoa.
You couldn't eat enough to waylay enough of the enzymes so that you didn't get absorption and you didn't get systemic body-wide action.
So you said,
as I said,
doesn't
we made
matter.
It yeah, you, super strong. Yeah.
Super. So you could just have it with food if you want, and you're good.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Cool. Here's one for you. How would Dr. Wong approach a problem with atrial fibrillation? Atrial? And enlarged heart muscle. That would be
atrial.
Atrial, probably. Okay. They're just misspelling. Yeah, how would you look at that?
Yep. We actually, everything we have in our product line is there because someone in my family needs it.
Hmm. Wow.
That's basically it. We have very niche products. We don't try to be all things to all men. And one of our kin gets AFib, and one of our kin can also wind up in the hospital with AFib if they're not careful. So we came up with the strongest Hawthorn we could find, the strongest magnesium made in the industry. And if you combine that with the enzymes, you should have the enzymes because during AFib or tachycardia or missed heartbeat, you have the danger of growing a blood clot. And you don't want to grow that blood clot. The blood kind of backs up and sits there for a minute while your body decides whether it's going to beat or not. Bad stuff.
Not good.
So you throw the enzymes in to keep the blood clots from happening. Then you put in the Hawthorn and you put in the magnesium. Hawthorn regulates heartbeat. Whenever you've got a heartbeat irregularity, you're always deficient on magnesium.
I'm sorry, you're cut out there. You're always deficient on magnesium.
Magnesium, yes.
Right.
I learned this from a doc in Tryon, North Carolina years ago. Almost 40 years ago, he would take his cardiac patients and put them on an IV drip of mag, and they would get better so much faster. The other docs didn't know what the heck he was doing.
Wow.
They couldn't explain it. How can magnesium just do that? Well, we know that calcium causes muscular contraction.
Yes.
Magnesium causes muscular relaxation. So when you get the depleted on magnesium, then calcium goes into the magnesium channels, and instead of a contract relax signal, you get a contract signal.
Huh.
And that's when your heartbeat starts going wonky.
Tachycardia.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, or arrhythmia or whatever.
What?
So people who are prone to that, if they take the magnesium at one capsule twice a day, gives 1,000 and 10, 1,010 milligrams of elemental actual magnesium. I have to explain here. When you take a look at the reading of any mineral product, any chelated mineral, bear in mind that only 50% of that 15% of that number that you're looking at is the actual mineral. 85% of that is a chelating agent.
Yeah.
So let's say you're looking at 100 milligrams of calcium citrate. There's only 15 milligrams of actual calcium in it. That's the industry's dirty little secret about minerals. Unless it tells you what the elemental mineral content is, you have to calculate that 15%, or you're not going to get what you think you're getting. So we put in the minerals, we put in the hawthorn, and again we had a 50-to-1 hawthorn, and we sink it in with some serrapeptidase. Between all that, if you take those on a regular day, you can avoid having the arrhythmias or the AFib or whatever. If you're in the middle of an attack, then you take one or two enzymes, two or three magnesium, four hawthorn, and in 20 minutes it's gone.
Wow. So those are all separate for the heart people listening. They're yeah. separate products, the magnesium, the heart.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The magnesium is called magscorbate. We get chastised because we admit that our elemental magnesium source is magnesium oxide. And the rest of the industry goes, oh, we have magnesium this and magnesium that. We blended magnesium oxide with vitamin C. In your stomach, it makes magnesium ascorbate, which is one of the forms of mag. All the other magnesium in the industry, if you go to the raw material maker, not the bottler, not the person who puts the label on and sells it as their product, but if you go to the people who make the raw material, they'll tell you that the magnesium oxide, because there ain't nothing else to do to get magnesium. So they blend magnesium oxide with whatever chelating agent they have to get to their final product. Hmm.
I've often heard that magnesium bicarbonate's a good source too, is it not?
You know, even the non-chelated minerals absorb than the nutritional industry will want you to think. There was a study out of McGill in Montreal, McGill Med School, where they wanted to find the best absorbed calcium product. And this is back 20 years ago when the coral calcium was a big deal.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
And they, with all their test subjects and with the study that they did, which was quite extensive, very well done, they got a lot of flack for it from the nutritional industry. But I couldn't find fault. I used to do peer review. I couldn't find fault with their study. And I could always find fault with somebody's study. But they found that that Tums, just plain old Tums, was one of the best sources of calcium around.
Is that right? No kidding.
Yeah, and it has no chelating agent.
Well, that's probably why it works. You know, it's been around forever.
A couple of Tums with a
right?
Tums with a couple of vitamin C, you've got calcium ascorbate. You make it in your stomach.
And it's pretty hard to OD on magnesium, isn't it?
You get the runs, but it's impossible to OD on magnesium. Your body gets rid of it too fast.
Yeah. Here's one for you. Can you ask Dr. Wong, is it okay to do some pull-ups and dips right after a three-mile run? Also, what about these guys who run marathons and do ultra running after 40? I have a 49-year-old buddy who recently improved his personal best in marathon, and he said that his heart is the last thing that he's worried about.
You know, again, Jim Fix is dead. John Sheen is dead. They were both in their 50s. There's only so much cardiac inflammation you can give the body by running more than 3 miles three times a week. It will eventually get to him. He just hasn't gotten there. And like most runners, he ain't going to quit until his body makes him.
Yeah, till you say no more.
Yeah. You know, it's a mania. You can't help manic compulsion. And all runners are manic compulsives, runners and cyclists.
Here's an email from Shani. Can you ask Dr. Wong if Enkindle is for balancing hormones during and after menopause? Lost my libido, and will it come back? Shani lost her libido.
It depends on age. And it's 50-50. After 40, 45, supplements generally don't work as well because 50% of men and women go into menopause and andropause because they either have ovarian failure or testicular failure. 50% of men and women go into andropause or menopause because the pituitary gland stops making luteinizing hormone, which is what tells everything to turn on and make stuff. The supplements will work with the people who stop making luteinizing hormone because their testicles and ovaries still work. And if you throw in the signal and throw in the precursors, they can make the hormones. The supplements won't work regardless of what they tell you on television. With the people who have had testicular failure or ovarian failure because the factories are burned down. You can't do it. You can send the signal all day long. We can do blood tests and figure out if you've got a really high luteinizing hormone level, then you've got testicular or ovarian failure. The brain is trying to start working and it ain't going. So it sends out more luteinizing hormone to try to turn them on.
Huh.
But since they're dead, and they're gone. Whereas if you see a low luteinizing hormone level, then you know that they had the pituitary problem, but their testicles and their ovaries still work.
Dr. William Wong, can you take a few more emails before you go?
Sure.
Okay, cool. I'm having fun. I hope you are. We need to do this, though. Don't need to, but want to. Remember Dr. Patrick Flanagan? Oh, my goodness. This conversation goes back 7 years with Dr. Patrick Flanagan. Listen.
And then I discovered that Hunza water also contained negative ionized hydrogen, which is a source of biological electrons. When we're young, we have enzymes in our body called dehydrogenase, and the purpose of dehydrogenase is to lift off hydrogen ions from foods we eat, and their purpose is to create NADH, which is a chemical that acts as a shuttle in the mitochondria for producing all the energy in our body, adenosine triphosphate. And when people take this, it causes DNA repair. It heals the body from all kinds of oxygen-free radicals. It also helps the body recover from damage from radiation.
Well, we certainly want some of this stuff, right? Check out our AquaCure machine. AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Lifetime warranty. And along with a lifetime warranty, a 1-year, no questions asked, money-back guarantee. If you don't like your results, breathe the gas, bubble the water. Listen to what Dr. Flanagan has to say about this and others. The AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Use promo code OneRadio, 10% discount. This is from a previous show with Dr. Mark Sirkis.
So 3 months ago, a study that was published in Dove Press, brain metastasis completely disappear in non-small cell lung cancer using hydrogen gas inhalation. A case study done in China, a 44-year-old woman diagnosed with multiple metastases.
What's a metastasis?
Means it spread.
It's spreading.
It's spreading. Not just one tumor, you have multiple tumors.
Uh-huh.
The kind of case where there's no hope, doctors give up hope, complete remission using hydrogen gas.
Really?
In terms of brain cancer, and of course in my hydrogen book, which people can download from my site, quite a bit of information about using hydrogen for cancer and the many reasons and studies that lead up to that. But this study that I'm talking about today, it's
amazing.
It's like taking a 2x4 and smashing it over the sign of modern oncology. Like, wake up, boys. Here's something simple, something you should be doing anyway, that happens to help people with the worst forms of cancer, almost doomed to die.
If these studies on breathing hydrogen gas in cancer cells are accurate, imagine the possibilities of what this technology can do for you and I when we breathe it and drink the water. Peer-reviewed studies have shown it's the best antioxidant known to man. What exactly is it doing? I have no idea. We have the AquaCure Brown's Gas Hydrogen Machine. We think the best one out there, created by George Wiseman. On our website, you can get a 10% discount, promo code one radio, 1 year, no questions asked, money back guarantee, lifetime warranty, 10% discount. Click and order if you want one on OneRadioNetwork.com. In these days, ladies and germs, I don't think there's a better investment that we can make than spending our Federal Reserve notes, such as they are, on things that help us to be happier and healthier and live longer and have fun and play golf and make babies and do everything else that we want to do. And I drink this water and breathe this gas every day. I've been doing it for 18 months now. I've never felt better. And I've had in my body almost 75 years. And so there's something going on very special with this lifetime warranty. It's a great investment. You know, it's a couple grand, but with the 10%, get your doctor to, get your doctor to prescribe it and write it off. Oh, I don't do tax advice, but there's all kinds of, you can do stuff. It's pretty cool. The Aqua, it's very cool. The Aqua Cure machine. And by the way, I get emails quite often. People say, well, I found this YouTube guy and he's got one for $1,500 and it makes hydrogen gas and blah, blah, blah. You know, just be careful. George is very interesting fellow. I've known George now a long time. And George is quite careful about the safety features of hydrogen in his machine. And he tries to help people who make other hydrogen machines. He says, there's a lot of them out there. I think mine's the best because the safety features and the way my technology. And so he's very cool like that. He didn't say I got the only one, but he has safety features which are kind of multiple because you don't want this thing to get low or to get too high. It's not good. Hydrogen's very powerful. I mean, they have hydrogen buses, hydrogen bombs, hydrogen, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? It's very powerful technology. So you want to get a machine that has all of the safety features so nothing's going to go wrong. You know, so that's just a heads up there. So price is not always the best choice, if you know what I mean. Check it out on our website, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Dr. William Wong, who is looking good there in his red vest and golly, gosh, gee. And you're in the great state of Texas.
Oh, we're ready for Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody else is moving here, Doc. We might as well just stick around because the whole world's going to come here, right?
Gee. Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen here? Do you think that there's going to be some kind of split in the union? I know you're kind of, what do you think? Oh,
probably, yes. Yeah. You know, the way that the blue states have gone full communist, the way that they want to control every aspect of a person's life.
Yeah, yeah.
The way that they want to tax you into poverty,
yeah,
and take everything from you. We have no other recourse. We're eventually going to have to secede.
Probably Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee.
You know, if you draw a line down from the eastern border of the Dakotas down through Texas.
Yeah.
And then you draw a line down the middle of the Cascades to Arizona.
Oh.
I'm predicting that eastern Washington, eastern Oregon, northern California, a little slither of northern California, is going to give all the communists along the coast flipping the bird.
Yeah.
And go their own way with the red states.
We talked to a fellow, John Paul Londo, a couple of times, and he's way Northern California, right at the border. And he agrees with you. There's a lot of patriots up there that are not doing commie stuff.
Exactly. And the northern Mexican states are looking to secede from Mexico.
Really?
We may have a whole really interesting country here pretty soon.
Now say that again. The state?
The northern Mexican states. There's a movement. Most of the criminals come from central and southern Mexico, and they migrate up north, and they're causing also the norteños getting salir de Mexico. They want to have their own countries. They want to be independent from the central state of Mexico. So we might see a really interesting, I mean, think of those borders I just outlined, and then extended down to Nuevo León, Sonora, Chihuahua, I think Sonoita. Mm-hmm. No. Well, I'm not up on my Mexican geography, but I think that's where the what the states are connected onto our red states.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
And
you know, the manufacturing capacity that they've got there, plus the precious metals and the oil, and to us.
And Doc, you know, there's definitely some interesting politicians down that way. We heard from Dr. Seneff, who was on our show talking about her book on glyphos, and she said that Mexico has already said within 2 years, absolutely no more glyphosates in or out of Mexico. Cool. And also that they're telling us, we don't want your stinking GMO corn anymore because our tortilla. So fantastic. There's some cool people down there. So I didn't know that all the drug dudes were more central and southern Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The northern Mexicans are tired of it.
Well, we're all getting tired of these people just making us crazy, you know? It's like, come on, guys. Get a grip.
We may see some very interesting realignment soon.
Get a grip.
And, you know, no one's paying attention to what's happening in South America. I mean, the Chileans, the Argentines, the Brazilians, the Peruvians, they've always been in kind of a
revolutionary
mishmash.
Yeah.
With each other. And, you know, Chile's got the best army in South America, Chile and Brazil. And Chile's training for getting ready for Brazil, Peru, and Argentina to invade them.
Really?
So there's always stuff going on. You know, we concentrate on what's happening here in the States because we live here.
Yeah.
But aside from all the turmoil in the EU, aside from the imminent breakup of the United Kingdom, there's all sorts of stuff going on everywhere.
And we're hearing from one of our fellows who we have on regularly, Tom Luongo, and he's very good researchers, that those people in France, they are just getting ready to storm the castle in France. I mean, could you imagine, man,
second Bastille Day.
Bastille Day. If you imagine that they break away from the EU, man, it's toast, right? It's toast.
It's about time, you know. The EU is France's idea. If you go back to the common market, but if it's about time that France remembered the last verse of the chorus of their national anthem, "Que sang impur," and my French is horrible, "Abreuve nos illions." We will irrigate our fields with their impure blood. Yeah, it's cool stuff.
We will irrigate our fields with their impure blood. I love that song too. Are you talking about the one they sang at Casablanca?
The Marseillaise.
The Marseillaise. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Marchand, que sang impur, abreuve nos illions. And I know I just slaughtered that.
That's
I'm sorry.
All right. You are a revolutionary. I love you, Doc. God love you.
I speak Spanish better than I can ever speak French.
Here's an email before we go. We'll have a couple more. I had a reoccurring pain in my right abdomen for a year. I took some of your enzymes, and it's gone. I was a bit concerned there was something bad in there, but thanks to you, I'm no longer concerned. Occasionally now I get it in my left navel. Why do you think it's moved, and what do you suggest? So, wow.
I think you got parasites.
You think it's parasites?
And I think the enzymes were eating away at the parasites.
Do they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. The enzymes are mildly antiparasitic, they're mildly antiviral, and they're mildly antibacterial. Give you an example. We had one fellow who was a super purist, didn't want any drugs for his dogs at all. And he had a dog with heartworms. I don't recommend this. The ivermectin is a hell of a lot better thing to use, but he just gave his dog the zymessence for a year. And I forget which dose, and I've even forget how big the dog was. I think 40 pounds. And after a year, the heartworms had all been eaten away.
Wow. Why don't you recommend it? If it's pretty safe, right?
The ivermectin works in 2 days.
Oh, I see.
Why wait a year?
You think a dose
the first dose of ivermectin
really
will kill 97% of parasites within 24 to 48 hours. And you take a second dose 2 weeks later to get the remaining 3%, the eggs and stuff, just before they hatch. So you're breaking the cycle.
In people and animals, your experience.
Yes. And by the way, here's something that's going to shock most folks. Any parasitologist, any physician who is knowledgeable on parasites will tell you, in the United States, not in the tropics, but in the U.S., the people with the absolute largest parasite load are organic vegetarians and vegans.
Whoa. Why is that?
You don't spray anything on the fruits and veggies to kill the bugs. Just lay eggs in there. You eat the eggs.
Oh. Yeah, but you mean those parasites will eat us too if we don't wash our veggies good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and if you've ever gutted a fish, if you've ever gone fishing and you take the fish out and, you know, you start gutting the fish and doing whatever,
right.
I don't fish, but I just, and you open the fish up, you can actually see the tracks where the parasites have eaten through the internal organs.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You know, go on a search engine and type in x-ray of sushi eaters and see what you get.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here's an email from Adam Bergstrom. He does some research for us. He's a great guy. He's on once a month. He says the shedding is often caused by transmissible vaccines, self-disseminating vaccines. See the August 19, 2020 New Scientist article. We now have the technology to develop vaccines that spread themselves.
That's
whoa.
That's absolutely horrific. Yes.
Whoa.
It's Satan's work. It's evil.
These
just
people are psychopaths, evil. Doctor. They really, I mean, it's hard to get your arms around or your head around the idea that there's actually humans. Maybe they're not humans. Maybe they're lizards, like David Icke says, and they just want to kill a lot of people. I mean, maybe that's what they want to do.
What did the Georgia Guidestones say?
Yeah.
Bring humanity down to what? 500, no,
500 50 million? 50 million. Or
we have 7 billion people on the planet.
Man, these people are bonkers.
They are absolutely horrific. And yet, you take a look at stuff, they control everything.
I know.
They control the courts. They control governments.
Big
they
tech,
own
right? Yeah.
Politicians lock, stock, and barrel.
Everything.
We, you know, someone had a vision, and I forget who. Might have actually been Washington. But that vision was also repeated with other seers, where people, patriots, lined up politicians on the Washington Monument and executed them firing squad style and left the pockmarks there as a testimony to future generations that you screw up, this is what happened. Bastille Day is coming.
That's right. There's people suggesting that the French are going to go to wherever Klaus Schwab hangs up and, you know, bring the guillotine with them. And then...
You know, they've just had 20 generals say that France is going to have a civil war.
Really?
The French against the Muslims.
Yeah.
We have 120 generals who just signed a letter saying that under Biden, the U.S. is going communist. And everyone's going into poverty and people are dying. Right now, more folks have died from taking the vaccine than have died from all other vaccines for the last 20 years. So just in these few months of the COVID vax, the various different ones, more folks have died than in the last 20 years from every vaccine put together.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And Doc, and if you go by this VAERS report, and they claim that the VAERS report is only, what, only 1 to 10% of the people report on this thing?
Yes.
Right?
Right. Yes.
And they, what do they say? It's 5,000 people have died? 5,000?
Now, here's something. The spike proteins that they're putting into us, that they're causing us to make.
Yeah.
What else has a spike protein? Lyme's, Creutzfeldt disease, Jakob Creutzfeldt, which is mad cow in humans. Do you remember John Titor back in the 1990s?
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah. What did he do? Okay.
What did John Titor claim to have been a time traveler from 2036 who came back to the 1990s to pick up an IBM something or other computer?
Yeah.
Because all the programs in 2026 for, I think, Unix had gone corrupted and they needed to get an original source program. Well, he stayed here for a while, he said, and the story was he had a blog. He said the main disease in his earth, in his day, was mad cow. What have we got now with the spike proteins? We have the mRNA causing the body to create tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of these spike proteins, which look like three connected sixes if you take a look at some of them there. How they manage that, I don't know. But when they break apart into individual spike, into individual sixes, those are the things that cause a mad cow. So maybe John Titor was right. Just since we're not his same planet, in a slightly different way.
So before you go, can you explain to me, like, please talk to me like I'm a young child or a golden retriever, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. What is a spike protein?
A spike protein is something that gets made by the body.
Yeah.
And actually, Dr. Tenpenny's got a really great video, only 20 minutes long.
Okay.
Explaining how it's formed. We usually don't have a lot of them in our bodies. Our bodies, when we make them, recognize them as an exogenous protein, because the body has the ability to do something called protein tagging. When something doesn't belong in you, like excess scar tissue, or you eat a steak, that's protein, but the body tags that as an exogenous protein, and your enzymes are supposed to destroy it, lyse it, eat it. As I've been telling folks for years, after 27, your production of lytic enzymes plummets, because you only make a finite amount of proteolytic enzymes in a lifetime. You've used half of them up by the time you're 27. But physiologically, old age begins at 27. All the textbooks tell us that. Guyton's is very specific about telling us that. And Guyton's is the physiology textbook. So from then on, instead of doling the enzymes out with a tablespoon, we dole them out with a eyedropper. So we don't have the enzymatic action to eat away at the spike proteins once we get older. We don't see mad cow in young folks. We see mad cow in middle age to older folks. Now, here's something interesting. The head of AstraZeneca came from the Rockefeller Institute and from Sloan Kettering.
Mm-hmm.
He joined AstraZeneca 2 years ago. Okay? 2 years ago. Perfectly fit, perfectly healthy, 2 years ago. He died 3 weeks ago of advanced Jakob Creutzfeldt disease, of advanced mad cow.
Really?
How do you do that?
Whoa.
It takes 9 to 12 years to die of mad cow disease for a human. How did he die in 2 years? He wasn't sick when he got there. Where did he pick it up?
Was he eating this stuff in the lab, or what was the guy doing?
He either volunteered to take his own vax, or he got exposed to it.
Somebody wants to know what products have a high selenium and boron content. I wonder if they're asking about your products or foods, or I don't know. Don't know.
But you easily findable on the internet.
Does your guest? They just keep coming in. We'll never get rid of you. Does your guest have a Does your guest have a referral? I don't want to get rid of you. Does your guest have a referral for access to quality ivermectin source product in Canada? Also, do you have comments on any legal action that is being taken nationally, globally? You were suggesting that feed stores can just liquid ivermectin is just the real stuff, right?
Right.
Right?
I've, in all this COVID stuff,
yeah,
I've known ranchers out here who actually paint themselves with the stuff they paint on their cows.
They do.
One of the delivery methods for ivermectin is this long hanging roll. Looks like a giant paint roller, and you have the cows go underneath it, and the paint roller is just soaked in ivermectin. Whoa. Ivermectin in diesel oil or ivermectin in
pepper. Wow.
Right into the skin. So I've known ranchers around here who have done that, and they haven't gotten sick.
Wow. Do you know the first...
But I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
The horse paste is fine. The dog paste is fine. The injectable is the best way.
Do you know the first time I heard of ivermectin was 10 years ago when a lady, and the name will come to me, who lives in Mexico, and she's all over the autistic kids, and they were giving them ivermectin because she believed that they had parasites that were screwing up their gut and autistic. Isn't that interesting? 10 years
ago. That's a great possibility.
10 years ago.
That is. And you know, I want you to think about this. People have always wondered whether viruses are parasites. There's a whole body of folks, professional yeah. folks, doc, and researchers who will argue the fact that a virus is a parasite. I won't go there because they've been back and forth for years. But the fact that ivermectin works on viruses as a wide-spectrum antiviral sure really does lend credence to their assertion.
And there's a whole bunch of people, Cowan, Kaufman, Vollmer, Sell, Lanka, I mean, a lot of them are saying the whole germ theory thing just is dang true anyway, and the body makes viruses to clean things up, and we can't share these things, and the whole thing is a scam. I mean, that's possible, too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, as you know, do you know Pasteur cooked the books in this whole germ theory thing? He did. It was in his diary. He was spiking these little things he was giving people so they would get sick. I mean, isn't anything sacred?
Well, what the ivermectin shows
well,
is that it is the terrain. You change the terrain, you won't get sick.
So
you're saying
the ivermectin is showing because it's cleaning up the mess there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Not necessarily killing anything that it bits is cleaning up the terrain. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. If you don't believe in the germ theory, then it works too.
Yeah, that works too. That's right. This just works too.
We don't.
I can't believe this thing locked up at the very last minute. Can you believe it? We've gone the whole time. His internet has been playing, not being the best anyway, as you have heard. Let me check and make sure it's not mine. But I think his internet, after all this time, I think the NSA or the NS or the FBI just got tired of this and said, we're done. You can't do this anymore. As you know, Dr. Wong, you could hear it over the last almost 2 hours. His internet had its moments. And I think after all this time, it just locked up. Isn't that crazy? Oh, well, we're about to go. Okay, Doc, I'll send him an email and thank him for being on the show. And just locked up. You know, the NSA, man, they'll just have their moments. They just don't want to do it. Okay, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to talk about cannabis, wacky tobacco, with one of the top wacky tobacco doctors ever, Dr. Frankel, and it's going to be happening in about 20 minutes right here. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. Thank you. Dr. Wong's website, I'll put it up here, is drwongessentials.com, drwongessentials.com. We'll see you in just a bit. Thank you. Appreciate it. Love you. May the blessings be. I can't believe it did that. Oh, well.
nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.